Hello, TEF. I want to say how much I miss seeing you. I hope and pray that you and all yours are staying healthy and staying safe. It is great being able to be back here in the church. Of course, it would be better if you were here as well and I could see you here. I was just thinking, I'm used to looking over the congregation when I'm speaking, and now all there is a camera. There's Pastor Kim and Pastor Austin and Fiona are here. So if during the message as I'm speaking, you catch me looking to the right or to the left, it's just take that as my way of saying, wish you were here. John chapter 14, begin with verse 26. It says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The New Testament was written in the Greek language, and the Greek word for peace is pronounced eirene. It is taken from the verb eiro, which means to join or bind together that which has been separated. It gives us the picture of binding or joining together again that which had been separated or divided and making it one again. And this is where we are given the meaning or the common expression that we use of having it all together. So eirene speaks of a sense of interrest and harmony. And eirene, or peace, ultimate peace, is the state of being in one accord or being connected with God, meaning that which was separated, that which was divided, has been reconnected with God. And in spite of all that is happening and taking place in our lives at this moment, regardless of all the circumstances and situations that we cannot control, if you still look to God, if you still make Him the focus of your life, if you still hold to His hand as you hold to His word, if you are still connected to Him, then you still have eirene. You still have peace. Peace can be different things to different people. Peace of mind is such an important concept in life that people will do almost anything to find it. They will go almost anywhere. They will try almost anything. But the truth is that very few people in this world are at peace with themselves. Too many people carry a high degree of stress or of anxiety and of tension in their lives. And while it might be easy to say that the last few months are the prime reason of that, the fact of the matter is stress and tension that many are facing right now was hanging around long before some virus showed up. Peace is a condition of freedom from disturbance. That's really what peace is. And so, what is it that causes us to feel disturbed, really? If we were to try to answer that question, I imagine we could come up with many, many different answers from many different walks of life. But really, any of them, really, would they really be the right answer? Really? I want to offer you three things that I believe are the real villains behind losing our peace and not having peace at all. The first villain is when circumstances are uncontrollable. How many have finally realized that life is beyond your control? If you haven't figured that out yet, it's probably because you haven't started living yet. But once you do, you will come to that realization very quickly. The most important things in life are often beyond our control. Lots of things just end up being out of our control, and when that happens, we get frustrated and we lose our peace of mind. The second villain that causes us to lose peace is not being able to change the people around you. It is natural for people to resist change, and it is especially normal for people to resist others who try to change them. The quickest way to lose your peace of mind is to try to change somebody else. The third villain behind losing peace is when things happen without explanation. You know, life isn't fair. not everybody has a happy ending, and not everybody lives happily ever after. In fact, very few people really do. Things don't always turn out right, and you're not always going to know why. And when things don't happen in your life the way you want them to or think that they should, you get frustrated and you get nervous and, yeah, you get stressed out and you lose your peace. But here's the thing. God has promised peace of mind. He has promised it because He knows you need it. You need peace. One of the Hebrew names of God is Jehovah Shalom. Shalom means peace. And so Jehovah Shalom means I am the God of peace. And this tells us two very important things. Number one, we all need and we all want peace. And number two, God wants us to live in peace. And in John chapter 14, verse 27, he says this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." You see, peace is not something you work for. It's not even something you deserve. And you don't beg for peace. Peace is simply a gift. You receive it. And here's what we need to understand. Peace has nothing to do with problem-free living. Some people think peace equals no issues. That's not the case. If you have to wait until your problems are solved before you think you can be at peace, you're never going to be at peace. Jesus said this, "In the world you will have problems." You're going to have problems. Count on it. Peace of mind doesn't come from conflict-free living in your life. In your life, you're just going to have it. You're going to have conflict. But did you know that you could have peace of mind in the conflict? In the times of uncertainty, you could have peace. In the moments of wondering how you're going to make it, you can have peace. When everything going on around you causes you to question everything you thought you knew about life and about God, you can have peace. There are three important decisions that you can make that will help you, what I call keeping it all together. There are three decisions that you can make that will help you keep it together. The first decision to make is the decision of acceptance. Accept what cannot be changed. Worrying about what cannot be changed won't give you peace. Becoming resentful or angry at those things that cannot be changed will not give you peace. Feeling guilty about things that cannot be changed won't give you peace. There is only one thing that will give you peace about your past, and that is acceptance. During the time the Apostle Paul was taken to Rome and put in prison, and he was awaiting the execution, being executed by Nero, he wrote Philippians. Philippians, the most positive book in the Bible. In it, Paul writes, "I've learned to be content." Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13 says it like this, "I have learned to be content with the things I have and with everything that happens. I know how to live when I am poor. I know how to live when I have plenty. I have learned the secret of being happy at any time and everything. I can do all things through Christ because He gives me strength." Here's something that we need to understand. Acceptance is a learned experience. And you learn it from going through tough times, learning to accept in the experience. And it is God's Spirit in us that gives us the power to do that. We need Him. We need God in our life to help us to do that. Now, I'm going to share with you something that we really don't want to hear. Don't turn it off yet. Trust me in this. It will help all of us. Do you know what keeps us from peace during unwanted circumstances? Do you know what keeps us nervous and stressed out about things in life? It's our demand for an explanation. Think about it. When something goes wrong in your life, when something doesn't happen the way we think it should, we want God to give us an explanation for why. We demand the right, to approve the reason for the trial that we're going through. We demand the right to approve the reason for the situation that we might find ourselves in. That's why we want to know why, because we want to put our stamp of approval on. Okay, God, I accept this. And by going over and over in our mind, trying to figure out why something happened, our life is kept in chaos. But here's the real difficult part I want to share with you, and this wasn't easy for me, and it still isn't. God doesn't owe us an explanation for anything. Even if he did, we probably wouldn't understand it. Explanations won't bring peace anyways. We always say, you know, if I just knew why this is happening, or if I just knew why this happened, then it would make all the sense in the world. No, it wouldn't. What comforts us is not knowing why, but it is the presence of God in our life. It is the presence of God in our why. More than any answer is knowing that he is here. That brings us the greatest source of peace in our lives. The classic example of accepting things that cannot be changed is the story of Job. In the Old Testament, Job played in what I call the World Cup of Suffering. Some of you would understand what I just said. This guy was the wealthiest man who had ever lived. He was very godly. He was very dedicated. He was devout to God. And one day, actually 48-hour period, he lost everything. First, all 10 of his kids were killed. Then he lost all of his wealth. His crops were destroyed. His flocks, his herds were destroyed. He went bankrupt instantly. He lost everything he had overnight. Then if that wasn't enough, he got a terrible, painful disease that left him with open sores on his body and left him in pain 24 hours a day. The only thing that he had left was his wife, whose best idea for him was to curse God and die. Gee, thanks. Glad I married you. But the most difficult thing about Job's circumstances is this. There was no apparent explanation given. God gave no reason to him for why all these things have happened. Think about this. He never said to Job in the moment, this is why I'm doing this. This is why this is happening to you. This is why your children died. This is why you lost all your flock. This is why you went bankrupt. This is why I'm allowing this in your life. Looking back, we can see what was going on, because we read the book of Job and we find that all that there is to know, that there were other forces at work. God was allowing a test. Satan was involved. There were all kinds of things that were going on that Job didn't understand, but we could, because we were reading it. We can see it looking back, but Job had no idea in the moment. And for 37 chapters, God says nothing. Have you ever found yourself in a problem when God was silent? That is one of the most difficult things to handle in life. When you're going, why? Why, God? Why is this happening? Job was going through the greatest test of his life. It was a test of his peace of mind. And it was in this that Job would say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And here's the point of the story. When God is silent, we need to accept. Accept what cannot be changed. And after we choose to accept what we can't change, we then can make the second decision that will help us keep it together. We make the decision to trust. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 says, you, Lord, give true peace to those who depend on you because they trust in you. God gives peace to those who trust in him because they depend upon him. There is no such thing as problem-free life. There's no such thing as problem-free living. If it isn't one thing in life, it's another. You know, you have those list of problems, and you don't have to say them out loud right now, but think in your mind, you have those list of problems, and the moment, you know, you have that number one problem, and so you focus on that number one problem, but the moment you get that biggest problem knocked off the list, number two gets promoted, and now you have another number one problem. There's a word for a series of problems. It's called life. We need to learn to have peace in the middle of our problems, or we are never going to have peace. And in every moment in life, trust in the loving protection of God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. If you do this, you will experience God's wonderful peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. That is the path to peace. Trust in God's loving protection in the situation. Most people respond to uncontrollable and unexplainable and unchangeable situations of life with one of two responses. And both of those responses are mistakes. The first response many people try is they just try harder. They become more controlling in their life. And the more life gets out of control, the more controlling they intend and try to become. And in doing that, they make everybody around them miserable and the more unhappy they themselves become. Others make the other choice, and that is they do the exact opposite extreme, and they just want to give up, and they just don't want to try anything anymore at all. They give in to despair, and they basically say, I'm a victim, and I will be a victim the rest of my life. Both of those responses are mistakes. They don't work. Instead, we need to take the third step in the path to peace, and that is surrender to God and understand that He knows best. The real reason many find themselves dealing with anxiety, the reason they have so much tension in their lives, is because they are fighting a war with God. They are fighting a war of wills, their will against God's will. You see, people think they know better. It is easy to depend on the immediate decisions that we make rather than have faith in the awaited direction that one receives when they patiently listen for His voice in their lives. And every day you wake up, every single day you wake up, you're going to have to make this decision tomorrow when you wake up. But every day you wake up, you have a decision to make. Who's going to be in charge of my life? Me or God? Am I going to be in control or is God going to be in control? Because some people think they know better. They don't care much about what God wants to tell them. You know what I'm talking about, the people that you run into that says, you know, the Bible that you read, that's just an old book. It's outdated. And so they just want to ignore what God says in general. Too many people want to make up their own rules. They want to play their own games. Let's face it, they think they know better. But the truth be told, the more they take control, the more miserable they become, and the more out of control their lives become. Because it doesn't work to live that way. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6 says this, "For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace." And those are the alternatives to our life, death or life and peace. So the question is, who's going to be in charge? I don't know if you thought about this, but it's obvious. In a war with God, we are going to lose. There is no way we're going to win that war when we're arguing, when we're battling against God. Do we ever think that God wants to bring us to the understanding of benefits, the benefit of depending upon Him, instead of just thinking that He's going to disappoint us? Maybe He wants us to understand the benefit of depending upon Him or the benefit of being able to know and Him proving to us that He is trustworthy. If we want to have peace of mind, we have got to surrender control of our lives totally to God. And the evidence of a surrendered life is always obedience. When I listen to His word and follow His direction, I will have peace. Psalms chapter 119, verse 165 says this, "Those who love your teachings will find true peace, and nothing will defeat them." Today, you might be in an uncontrollable circumstance. We all are right now. You might think that you're locked in an inescapable situation. Don't feel that you're all alone. There are others who feel just like you today. You might be experiencing an unexplainable problem. The questions you're facing are the same questions that others have faced and perhaps even are facing now. But the good news is that you can have peace. You can have peace, the peace of God in your life today. But first, you've got to make peace with God. You can't have peace of God until you first make peace with God. Peace that Jesus gives is not the absence of trouble, but it is rather the confidence that He is there with you always. Long ago, a man sought the perfect picture of peace. Not finding one that satisfied, he announced this big contest. He had this contest that he was looking for someone to produce a masterpiece about peace. The challenge stirred the imagination of artists everywhere, and paintings arrived from far and wide. Finally, the great day of revelation arrived. The judges uncovered one peaceful scene after another while the viewers clapped and cheered. And during that time, the tensions arose until finally only two pictures remained veiled. As the judge pulled the cover from one, a hush fell over the crowd. It was an image of a mirror-smooth lake reflected lacy green birches under the soft blush of the evening sky. Along the grassy shore, a flock of sheep grazed undisturbed. Surely this could have been the winner. I mean, it just looked perfect. But one painting remained. The artist who painted the last vision uncovered the painting himself. And the crowd gasped in surprise. Could this really be peace? The painting was a painting of a tumultuous waterfall cascading down a rocky precipice. The crowd could almost feel its cold and penetrating spray. Stormy gray clouds threatened to explode with lightning, wind, and rain. And in the midst of the thundering noise, a spindly tree clung to the rocks at the edge of the falls. One of its branches reached out in front of the torrential waters as if foolishly seeking to experience its full power. And on one of those branches, a little bird had built a nest in the elbow of that branch, content and undisturbed in her stormy surroundings. And she rested on her eggs. With her eyes closed and her wings ready to cover her little one, she manifested peace that transcended all earthly turmoil. Peace that Jesus gives is not the absence of trouble, but it is rather the confidence that He is there with you. He's with you always. I want to leave you with one more thought. Millions of people pray the Serenity Prayer every day. I'm sure you've heard of it. It says this: God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That is a very famous prayer by a man named Reinhold Niebuhr, but it is edited. There are 8 more lines to the Serenity Prayer that you might have never heard. This is the prayer: God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that You, God, will make all things right if I surrender to Your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with You forever in the next. Amen. That's where all the power is. The power of peace is not in the first part of the prayer. It's in the part that they've cut out. All the power is in the second part of that prayer. Because you see, it is through acceptance, trust, and surrender that you find the path to peace. And today I pray that in the midst of what is going on all over the world, but most importantly, what is going on in your world specifically right now, you'll be able to accept what it is. You'll be able to trust in Him who is with you and will not leave you. And you'll be able to surrender to His purpose and plan that He has for you in your life. Because He does have a plan for you. I believe that as strong as I believe He has a plan for all of us. So God bless you. Have a wonderful day. And have a blessed week.